This is Focus West Michigan for Thursday, July 23, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. The Michigan State Police's OK to Say program is saving lives and keeping students safer at school, according to its annual report released this week. WGVU's Dee Morrison takes a look at the impact.
The OK to Say program is Michigan's confidential student safety system, allowing students, parents, teachers, and community members to report tips about potential harm or criminal activities. The report highlights safety challenges students face today, with tips coming in about suicide threats, bullying, drugs, sexual assault and exploitation, as well as anxiety, depression, and harassment. The program received more than 10,700 tips in 2025, its second highest since its 2014 start. Law enforcement intervened in 41 weapons-related incidents, resolving potential threats before harm occurred, and 57 life-saving interventions for students in active suicide crises. School staff use tips to assess 445 students for threat or suicide risk, coordinating support as needed. Tips also resulted in 220 seizures of illegal drugs, alcohol, or prohibited items from schools. OK to Say can be accessed through a mobile app, website, email, phone, or text number, and is available 24/7. I'm Dee Morrison.
Grand Rapids is overhauling its transportation blueprint. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us how a new $500,000 plan will reshape the city's streets and sidewalks.
A mobility blueprint is a comprehensive, long-range transportation plan establishing a roadmap for advancing safe, equitable, and sustainable mobility citywide.
Mobile GR Director Jessica Smith explains work began on the Grand Rapids Mobility Blueprint in September 2025 and continues drawing on community input and technical work completed through the city's community master plan set in 2024. City Manager Mark Washington.
This is intended to be really thoughtful about how we want to make investments regarding mobility and particularly pedestrian infrastructure, bike infrastructure, making sure there's intentionality.
The City Commission approved the continuation of the blueprint and hired T.Y. Lynn International Great Lakes Incorporated, which will assist in a citywide transportation network assessment, concepts and cost estimates for major corridors, and funding and implementation strategies. Mayor David LeGrand.
This is, I hope, an evolution from saying, let's have a bike plan to let's talk about mobility broadly because there's a lot more going on in transportation and getting from point A to point B than bicycles.
T.Y. Lynn's two-year contract will be funded through Mobile GR's Parking Services Fund at a cost of nearly $500,000. I'm David Limbaugh.
They say a few reckless riders are ruining it for everybody else, and WGVU's Phil Dawson reports Grand Haven is banning electric bikes, scooters, and skateboards from some sidewalks and the Grand River Boardwalk.
I've gotten more complaints about this than just about anything.
Grand Haven Mayor Bob Benetza says electric bikes, scooters, and skateboards don't belong in areas full of pedestrians.
I haven't seen anybody actually knocked down, but I've seen close calls. It's a bad mix.
At the suggestion of Public Safety Director Nicole Hudson, the city is banning e-bikes, scooters, and skateboards in the 10 block of Washington Avenue that is pedestrian only in the summer.
We've seen that area grow. Unfortunately, with that comes electric bicycles, electric scooters, bicycles through a large crowd of people.
And a no-wheel zone is proposed on the city boardwalk from the state park to the Wharf Marina.
This would prohibit bicycles, electric scooters, etc. on the boardwalk.
Still be allowed in the street.
Correct.
But in areas where people are walking, and with the way some riders operate the machines, Councilman Mike Dora says restrictions are necessary.
Somebody's going to get hurt sooner or later. It is unfortunate there are a few that ruin it for everyone, but it seems to be that with many things.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Now in its fifth year, the Clean Slate GR Expungement Fair will return once again. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has the details.
The fifth annual Clean Slate GR Expungement Fair will take place Saturday, August 22nd at the MLK Community Center on Fuller. The free community event is sponsored by the City of Grand Rapids Office of Oversight and Public Accountability. It is open to all Michigan residents seeking a fresh start through expungement. The attendees will have access to attorneys on site, along with free iChat background checks, fingerprinting services, and consultations. Those who are eligible will be provided with everything they need to file their application right there on site. Brandon Davis, Managing Director of the Office of Equity and Engagement and the Office of Oversight and Public Accountability, says, quote, "Clearing a criminal record can open doors to employment, housing, and education that were previously closed," end quote. One thing to note is that federal and out-of-state convictions are not eligible for expungement through this event. That event, again, is August 22nd from 10:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Michigan suffered a multi-billion dollar loss from the recent wildfire smoke, according to a new economic impact study. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The analysis by Anderson Economic Group economists focuses on lost earnings due to smoke and particulate matter from recent wildfires in Canada and Minnesota, impacting states from Indiana to Maine. It shows over $4 billion in Michigan, according to Patrick Anderson, principal and CEO of the East Lansing-based firm.
Significant loss already to us, and that's due to our reliance on tourism, agriculture, and other industries that require people to go outside. You can't have an outdoor-oriented economy where you can suddenly tell people it's hazardous to come and not suffer losses.
The firm identified the closure of amusement parks, health clubs, public parks, the cancellation of outdoor events from fairs to entertainment and sports venues, the impact of warnings about being outside, and the reports of outdoor workers needing medical attention.
We're not counting indirect effects. We're not counting reputational effects. We're not counting health effects. But all those are quite possible out there. And if we have more episodes like this, it will definitely hurt Michigan's status as a very desirable place to vacation, and it will hurt our agriculture as well.
The report is available on the Anderson Economic Group website. I'm Dee Morrison.
Voters in Ottawa County will consider a proposal on the August 4th ballot to renew and restore funding for community mental health. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Ottawa County's community mental health millage proposal is asking voters to renew and restore the existing 0.3 mil for the next 10 years. Over the past 10 years, the mental health millage has served nearly 22,000 residents, with services such as crisis support, outpatient treatment, prevention programs, and support for individuals with mental illness, substance use disorders, and intellectual and developmental disabilities. If approved, the mental health millage would cost a homeowner with a property's taxable value of $400,000 around $60 per year. The millage would raise over $5.7 million each year for mental health service providers such as the Ottawa County Veterans Department, Beacon of Hope, and the Tri-Cities YMCA. Since 2016, Ottawa County has invested $50 million in community mental health programming. You can learn more online at miottawa.org/cmh/millage. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin talks to a local obstacle course racer, but first, news from around the state. The Michigan Supreme Court has refused a case filed by an animal rights group that is seeking constitutional legal rights for a group of chimpanzees in an Upper Peninsula zoo. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The Non-Human Rights Project wants the chimpanzees moved to an environment closer to their habitat in the wild. The group argues the chimpanzees are closely related to humans and should have habeas corpus rights against wrongful imprisonment. The court's unsigned order says it's not persuaded that the case should be reviewed, but one justice dissented, and Jake Davis with the Non-Human Rights Project says that's progress.
We're one step closer to that future where certain species of non-human animals are seen in similar ways to humans under the law.
Justice Elizabeth Welch says the case deserves to be heard to take into consideration advancements in understanding the animal kingdom. I'm Rick Pluta.
A new report is questioning whether the state's newly approved budget is actually balanced as required by the state constitution. Colin Jackson has more.
The Citizens Research Council of Michigan suggests the recently signed state budget for fiscal year 2027 would run a deficit. Researcher Bob Schneider says Michigan's general fund usually has money left over from past years to handle it, but this year...
Those don't look like they exist. So based on what we can see, We have the significant, the $600 to $900 million shortfall.
The state budget office says the budget is balanced. The state says administrative changes to get there, like lapsing some business incentive funding, aren't included in budget documents. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. She's headed to the Worlds in Competition. WGVU Shelley Irwin talks to West Michigan's Kaylee Winesma about her journey with the sport of obstacle course racing and what it takes to compete.
Okay, here we go. Lots of 101s. You an elite obstacle course racer. Is this your full-time job?
Definitely not. That would be a dream, but no, there's quite a few other jobs. I coach a competitive gymnast as well as own my own fitness studio, Transform Fitness Studio in Jenison. So personal trainer on top of, you know, obstacle course racer keeps me busy.
But that's what I would want in a personal trainer is someone who's walking the talk, talking the walk, walking the walk, doing the things that you're teaching others. We'll get to that. Talk to me. You were a former competitive gymnast.
Yes.
Yes. What was that like?
I mean, I didn't start competitive gymnastics till I was a little bit older, relatively speaking. But, you know, it was a lot of fun. Loved, you know, just the challenge and just flipping around, feeling kind of like you're flying. Yes. And then, you know, it got to where that wasn't something that was in the cards to do anymore. So then I switched to running. And then went to college for running. So that was cool that I got to, you know, run collegiately and do what they call steeplechase. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Explain. It's several events.
So basically, it's like a 3K around the track. You have hurdles that you can either hurdle over or step onto and a water barrier. So obstacle course racing kind of was a nice transition because you have to hurdle, climb over things. And you get to do monkey bars and swing around, so it's like gymnastics and steeplechase kind of all combined.
And obviously smiling and still into it as you are now stepping it up and have earned a spot with Team USA. Let's do some 101s with an obstacle course racing opportunity. Are these, for the common folk, your Spartan races and more?
Spartan races are definitely an obstacle course racing. So there's different, I guess, similar to like 5Ks where you'll have, you know, different, you know, either fundraisers kind of that do fundraisers or races. So basically Spartan is one form of obstacle course racing. You'll have other races like Midwest OCR, Frontline, like WarX, all those different ones. So they each have their kind of own standard obstacles. And really anyone can do them because all of these races have what they call open waves. So when you get started, you basically, if you don't feel confident doing an obstacle, walk around it. You can skip it.
Don't you get penalized?
That
wouldn't be fair to the person that does the obstacle.
Typically for the open waves, you don't get penalized. You have the option to do the penalty, but you're not required to. Once you're in the competitive waves and in the elite waves, either there's a penalty where you have to either do some burpees or maybe you run a penalty loop, or on some of them, if you can't complete an obstacle, you get your band taken away. So, you know, it all depends on the race.
I just want a 5K where I start and I finish and there's nothing in between, but let's not digress there. So when did you know you would be hooked on an OCR race?
So honestly, it was my first race I ever did. I did a Spartan race, and it was a lot of fun. One of my former gymnast parents had said that, hey, I think you'll be really good at it. You should try it. So I, you know, trained some of the different grip stuff, things like that. And I got done with the race and kind of looked at my time, and I had done an open wave, but I was the fastest female out of like thousands of them that had done the open wave. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I might be kind of good at it. So the next one I did, I entered in the elite wave and was in the top 10. So I was like, hey, like if I actually, you know, work at it a little bit more, I could be pretty good at it.
And look at you now, as they say. Talk to me a little bit about, I guess let's cut to the chase. How does one qualify for Team USA in an OCR opportunity?
Each race has kind of a tier system. So depending on the challenge of the race, how many people tend to come to that race, kind of how the obstacles are constructed, they're given, you know, point systems. And each year you do your races, and then based on how you've done, you get to kind of enter in what your points are. And so you have to accumulate enough points in order to make it onto the team.
When and where do you go?
So for Worlds, we leave the beginning of August. So it starts the 6th and goes through the 9th. And it's going to be in Limerick, Ireland.
Ooh, That's a place, fun place to travel. And obviously, I think your weather is going to be on your side. It's not that hot.
I hope so.
I mean. And then what's the goal?
The goal, I mean.
Do you podium?
So you can't, like, as long as you're in the top three, you get to podium at Worlds. So, you know, the goal is to hit the top three. Obviously, you know, there's going to be the best of the best there. So, you know, it's a challenge. And the European obstacles, they run their races a little different than we do here in the U.S. They do a three-band system, which we have simulated, but that's all they do there. So those Europeans are used to racing that way, where for us, it's just a little different. So, you know, you just got to push a little bit harder.
Yes. Now, will you, Kaylee, will there be a parade? Other Team USA has parade. They have dinners. They have what?
There is an opening ceremony where at the beginning of Worlds, all of the countries that are there, we kind of march in. It's a celebration. The whole team is there, which is really cool. You know, we have our American flags. And then at the end, there is a closing ceremony as well after all of the team relays, which is on that Sunday. So it's kind of cool how you get to, you know, open it up. You have a festival where it's like, hey, like, we all worked hard, we made it here, and we are planning on putting together like a team dinner before everything gets started, which is going to be kind of fun. There's, you know, it's just always exciting to get the whole
meeting
team together.
New people.
Yeah.
Probably people you competed against. Are we all ages represented? Is this?
There are. There are youth that are coming and all the way up to like 60, 70 plus. So depending on where you qualified, you qualified age group, elite, teams, you know, there's multiple different distances, short distance, longer distance. So, you know.
And you've got a Team USA uniform, I'm sure.
I do.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Kaylee Wijnsma with us. Let's talk all things Team USA OCR World Championship. She's headed off in August as an obstacle course racer. And yet before then, this weekend, you have another Spartan race, yes?
Yes, so I'll be racing in Palmerton, so it's Pennsylvania. That's what the venue is called, so it's pretty hilly. Looking forward to just seeing some of the other people that I race against, have some good competition on a hilly course that you have to go hard and go fast and make sure you don't fall down the hills.
Yeah, no, let's stay upright, as they say. All right, how do you get into this? Somebody's listening and saying, I want to try this. What's the first step?
Honestly, the first step would be to essentially just get started. So whether, depending on where you're at in your fitness level, whether it be starting walking for longer distance, maybe it's running, maybe you do some like rucks, but basically building up your endurance, because it is ultimately a running race where building your grip strength and everything like that is important, but you also have to have the endurance and the stamina to make it, because the shorter distance ones are a 5K. The longer distance ones can be a half marathon to a marathon, depending on how adventurous you want to be. So like that, and then just, you know, functional strength training, kind of learning how to hang and hold on to things to build your grip strength. Farmers carries are great. Obviously, wall sits and squats, lunges.
Yeah, I was on a website seeing pictures of you doing that. And do you present this with your day job? Do you
train people
to do this?
So I definitely train people as if they were going to do a obstacle course race, because really it's so functional and working on just doing functional movement. Whether you're wanting to go skiing, you still got to build your grip strength. So it works for obstacle course racing, for life. I never require anyone to have to do an obstacle course race. I'm like, hey, if you want to join me, I'll do this. I'll go at your pace, like no pressure. But again, no one's required to do it, but they see me doing it. And I've definitely have plenty join, because they're like, hey, do you know what? If you say I can do it, then I believe that I can do it. And if you're going to do it with me, then I'm going to do it. So that's been kind of cool to get others to just experience it, have the fun, and feel really accomplished, because it's something they never thought they could do.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Thursday, July 23, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.